Recording started.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for coming. This is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi, and just right now today is November 3rd, 2010. I like to put that under recordings, and this is the final fourth session of the Enhancing Student Performance and Professional Development Online. And I have with me John Langille. Maybe John, would you like to say something?
Okay, good day. How are you? This is John Langille, and I work with Vance on the same program. Okay.
Okay, so John is here, and let's see who else have we got. Dennis? Hello, Dennis. That's your cue. We have with us from all the way from Germany, we have
at last, yes, Dennis, an Englishman living in Germany, as I always say, because otherwise people compliment me on my English, thinking I'm German. I've known Vance for a very long time. I don't think we've ever met, except in Second Life, and I don't think that quite counts, but he's been in my house, but in Second Life. Back to you.
Okay, and we also have with us Amr Salmeh. And Amr is a student here at the Petroleum Institute. He's on the men's campus, and I'm on the women's campus. John and I are on the women's campus. We're in our office here. So Amr can't physically come here, but he is with us virtually. So welcome, Amr. And anything you write will be recorded. This session is being recorded, so we can play it back later. Okay, I'm going to need a hands-free, so I'm going to have to put that on. So basically, I'm going to maybe put a few URLs up so we can see what we've been doing. I'm teaching a course called Enhancing Student Performance and Professional Development Online. And one place I've got it is at a tiny URL. Let's see. It's called, and everything we do is ESPPDO. I'm having a little bit of trouble writing some of these things out. There we go. So I hope that's bringing up a course description of, did everyone get that on the screen? Okay, so this is basically, it's a four-time course that that I proposed to do here at the PI, and the reason was to sort of bring some of my colleagues in the English department into teach them some Web 2 tools. That was the first, what I had in mind for the first couple of sessions. And then the last part of the course, I wanted to show people how they could learn more on their own through professional development, for personal learning networks, PLNs. So let's see. We've set up a couple of, let's see. Something is happening here. Okay, I clicked on a link and it didn't go where I wanted it to go, but I'm going to show you a couple of the blogs that I've set up here for. One of them is just curious.posterous.com. Okay, so this just curious.posterous.com, which should be coming up in your window. By the way, I should put some of these URLs in the text chat, because when you get the recording, the URLs don't enter the chat. So if you're having any trouble, that is, you don't see the URLs from the web tours. I happen to know that. So, okay, yes, good. Okay, I'm just putting these things here for the record. The one I just put in was ESPP. I'm sorry, tinyurl.com. ESPPDO. Okay, so these are the two I've shown so far. I just put them in the text chat. That way, anybody having playing the recording will be able to see the URLs. They'll see the pop-up windows are always there, but for people who see the recording, the URLs are not in them, so they don't really know where we're going. So this is the first class. This is a record of the first class that we had, and if you want to play around in there, you can see what we actually talked about. Amr came to that class. That particular class had a few students in it, but none of my teaching colleagues. So we sort of just talked about Creative Commons and some other how to do searches, but we sort of branched off and we talked about Delicious, how to set up Delicious accounts. Did you set up a Delicious account, Amr, and have you been using it since? And since Amr can only text chat to us, Dennis, I might ask you if you find Delicious to be a valuable tool.
Yes, very much so. I used it very regularly until I had the inevitable crash on my main PC about a month or so ago, but it took a long time to fix. And then I ran across this annoying problem. You've got everything set up for your own convenience and everything on the right bars and so on. Then when it disappears, you've got to recreate everything again because all my Delicious files are there once I managed to use it again daily. But you mentioned this other thing here. Is it Digo? I really don't know about that. I've come across it but not used it. What would you say about that as opposed to Delicious?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just put my Delicious links into the web tour. The second one down, this unfollow finder, that's neat. Have you seen that? I'll come to your question about Digo in a moment, Dennis, but just curious, did you happen to pick up on the unfollow finder in Twitter? You should try that. What that is you click on it. If you're already logged onto Twitter, it picks up your cookie, and then it tells you who in your list of followers and who in the it tells you who you're following, who aren't following you back, and it tells you who you are, who's following you that you aren't following. It's kind of neat. It's a real revelation. I found that Stephen Downs wasn't following me back. Anyway, one of my heroes. Okay, so Dennis asked about Digo. We just put up Delicious there. Let's see if we can go to Digo.com. That's a good question because Digo is a similar tool to Delicious. And we'll just visit it here in the web tour. Okay, there we go. I just put it into the web tour and also in the text chat. Okay, Digo is a similar tool to Delicious, but it has a lot more bells and whistles. It's like Delicious, it's a bookmarking tool. It allows you, as you can see from the URL there, it allows you other features. For example, you can highlight websites you visit, or you can put sticky notes on websites. And these themselves have a URL which you can pass on to other people. So other people can see not only the site, but with that special Digo URL, they can see your annotations. And that's that's really useful for English teachers, actually.
So the students could actually access this, work with something, and then it would be readily available to everybody else?
Yes, that's right. You could, say, find a URL for your students, and then you could highlight it or put a sticky, highlight things and put a sticky note there or whatever, make notes on it. And then you can give that URL to your students, and they can do that back. Of course, they can. So it puts a layer onto what you're able to share in bookmarks. And another thing you can do also is you can in Digo you can make a slideshow of URLs you visit. So for example, if I had in my Delicious account, which we were just looking at over here, by the way, did everyone go back to my Delicious account when I did that? Is that what you see on the screen right now? If you can imagine, if I could take a few selected bookmarks from my Delicious account and make a slideshow from them so that I could then play the slideshow. Thanks, Dennis. And you can make a presentation from your links, just one link after another, put it on a slideshow, and that also has a URL. And another affordance of these two tools, Delicious and Digo, is that with Digo, you can import your Delicious bookmarks. And I haven't done this, but it's been on way on the back burner because it's low priority for me because I get Delicious, I think, has more traction. I think there are more Delicious users. But you can synchronize them. So you should be able to set it up so that Delicious will import all your, sorry, that Digo will import all your Delicious bookmarks. And also, when you update Digo, that, oh, if you update Delicious, well, I'm not sure. I think if you update one, it feeds into the other. You should be able to set it up that way. Okay, so anyway, that was one thing we looked up. We were checking out. I find Delicious to be an invaluable tool. I use it with my classes. For example, you can go to, I just showed you my account here. But if you, and in my account, you could say, see all the bookmarks. I'm just going to put add a little tag to the, let's put the bookmarks for this course. Okay, so everything I've tagged ESP PDO, tag, this is what I'm using right now. I'll put this in the text chat so you all can see it. This is a little bit of a trick. They can't see that because I'm the moderator. I can see it. So you see where it's going to delicious.com/VanceStevens/ESPPDO. That gives you all the links that I have tagged for this class. But if you change that tag slightly, if you, what it's doing now, because there's a Vance Stevens in there, it's looking in my account. But if you change that to tag instead of Vance Stevens, then you see not only what I've posted, but what other people have posted. Now, this isn't a very good example because what you see here is you see that I'm the only poster here. So it's not a really good example, but I can probably give a better example if I show, say, something from my class. Suppose I show you, here I had all my students, I'll show you a class tag. This is one of my classes. Let's see, I have to think of the URL. Okay, here's one of my my classes. Okay, you can see this, that I'm not the only tagger here. Okay. So this is, I think I just put this in. This is my class, is computing class, COMP020. At the PI. I put that in there because someone else is already using COMP020 and you're getting some other, we're getting some polluting input from that. But if I put the PI after it, it became a unique tag. So you can see that the third person down is one of my students, and if you scroll down there, you can see that some other students are also posting in there. If I change the tag, tag means it gets links from anybody all over the world. If I put my account name there, then it changes to show me only my tags. So here's a little better a better illustration. To complete this illustration, one thing I want my students to tell me is where their Delicious accounts are. I've got different sections of students. So I'll take, for example, just my my men's section. It has a special tag. It's section 4. So if I put in, if I change this, so you're following me on the web tour, I just put in 04. That's their class tag. So all the people who are posting here are posting under that class tag. So if I had a project for them or something like that, I want them to add as one of their tags. You can see that people are doing things on mobiles and games, and somebody has misspelled mobiles. The first person up there has misspelled mobiles, but other people are tagging. Suppose you wanted to see what people had tagged under mobiles. If I just click on one of the mobiles tag, then that changes now. Okay. So what you see now, I've got to be a little careful here. What you see now is, when I clicked on that one, it took me to this person's account, the legend. It took me to his account under mobiles. But if I want to see what everybody in the world, what do you think? What should I do? What should I change there? I always ask my students here, what should I change there if I don't want to see just what this one student has done, Salim? I don't want to see just what he's done. I want to see what everybody in the world has done. What should I change? Can you put the change into the... Yes, Amr, well done. Amr, you win. Okay, exactly. Good lad there. Okay, so now then, I'm going to show you, but all the students, by putting tag here, this is what all the students have tagged under this class project tag of PLL mobiles. Okay, so another thing I want to know from the students is, since I use Delicious with them, I want to know what their Delicious accounts are. So I've got them tagging a special tag. Let me just run back here. Here's the tag for the class, which shows anybody who uses COMP020PI04. Now I told them to tag their own Delicious accounts with a me after it. So I'm going to change this now to show you what the me looks like. And what I want here is just their Delicious accounts. So I can go to any of my students' Delicious accounts now, and I can see a lot of what I ask them to do, because I can visit any account. Let's see if I'll take go. Let's see if I can find one of my best students here. Rashid Al-Nakhbi. Okay, where is he? Here, this one. Okay, let's see what Rashid's bookmarks look like. Okay, so I've told them to find a game and tag it EFL Games. As you can see, he's done that, and then I told him also to tag a mobile phone site, PLL Mobile, so he'll find it, and then give it some other tags as well, the class tag, which you can see there. So if I went to find, for example, EFL Games, yes, okay, let me just do one more thing that I'm through. I just went into Rashid's EFL Games site. I'm going to put this on tag, and when I stick that in there, you can see what all the games that our students found and tagged EFL Games. Okay, go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, I actually learned about tags from you a long time ago, but a thing I've never quite understood, what can recognize tags? I mean, obviously programs like Delicious and Flickr and so on, but you can't just sort of add a tag, can you? To a Word document and make that identifiable. So that's my question. Where you know, what can you use tags with, or where must you put them?
Very good question. You can use them with blogs. Let's see, what else can you? You can use them with Facebook. When you tag your friends in Facebook, you want to see their photos. So a tag is basically metadata that's attached to content that helps certain web tools to locate that content through its metadata. So David Weinberger gives a very good example. He says, well, basically it has to do with taxonomies and folksonomies. Just let me know if I'm repeating anything you already know. These two words are very important. A taxonomy is something like the Dewey Decimal System. And that was made 100 years ago by some guy named Dewey, whose world order has surely changed in the last 100 years. But anyway, he categorized everything in such a way that libraries could sort their books according to the taxonomy. And the internet, so it doesn't work that way. If we want to find information on the internet, we can't sort things on a taxonomy, because you know we'd be forever, well, you know, you just in a library you put the book in one place on the shelf. If the book is not there, you can't find it. So taxonomies are limited in that they create one place for everything. But folksonomies, when people tag something, and another example, you just asked where these tags come in. Let's say you're browsing YouTube or you're shopping at Amazon.com, and YouTube's a good example. You can tag your video that you put up. You can give it tags. And then YouTube will, that's called a folksonomy, where instead of the taxonomy being created and ordained from on high, folksonomy is created by the people, by the users, as they go on the fly. So under this folksonomy, or where everyone assigns a tag to a YouTube video, it turns out that when people use this kind of system, the tags that they come up with are very similar. So YouTube can use this by When you look at a video, it'll say, well, here's some other videos you might be interested in. It does that through the tags that people give it. So people sort of tend to organize, what they see on the internet. If there's a tag system, it means that the users can contribute to its organization. Does that answer your question, Dennis?
Yes, it does indeed. And I can see that must be what online bookshops do when they're saying, people that bought the book you just ordered also bought, or you might be interested in this and that. Is that the same thing at work there?
Yeah, is this also what, for example, newspapers do when they say, you've read this article, would you also be interested in these related articles? Just all tagged.
Yeah, there's probably some kind of system like that at work there. I mean, there would have to be. It's basically where people, where users sort of categorize content, and then through those categories that the user set up, the other content can be found. Here's an example of this. WikiSpaces, Writing Matrix is a project that are you familiar? I guess you're familiar with Writing Matrix, Dennis. If you are, maybe you can tell us what you know about it.
Yes, I never took part. I looked at it from time to time because sort of webheads, correspondence, messages, I came across lots of references to it. And I know that tagging played a part, but you can explain it better than I did. I just know that you use tagging there so that people who were writing could find what other people had written. Isn't that so?
Yeah, Writing Matrix was one of our very interesting projects, and it was actually a project where a bunch of us, and our names are there on the page, didn't know how tagging worked. So in order to find out, we did an experiment. I had the idea, but I didn't have any students. And the students were located in Argentina. There was Nelba and Rita, whose names are there, and Doris in Venezuela, and Sasha joined in from Slovenia, and Carla was kind of a latecomer in Brazil. But basically what it is was those teachers agreed to teach their students blogging. And when somebody writes a blog post, you can put in a category or a label or a tag. These are the same thing. They're called different things in different systems, but basically they're tags. So you tag your blog post if your blog post, say, is about surfing. That's popular in Brazil. So you tag it surfing, surfboard, the name of the place you're surfing, maybe Ipanema, something like that. And then you also give it the tag Writing Matrix. So obviously the tags like surfing would attract other people who are looking for surfing sites, or something like Ipanema would attract people who might be interested in that beach, or just might be looking about tourist information there. But Writing Matrix, and we chose Writing Matrix having tested it first. We tested it in some of the blog search sites and found that no one else was using that tag. That's very important. That's like the COMP020PI. I put the PI after it because that made it unique to us. So it has to be something that no one else is using. So those people and the students in those different countries, in Venezuela, Argentina, and Slovenia, and Brazil, started writing blog posts and tagging them Writing Matrix. And then we used a tool that finds those blog posts. And the tool that we chose, let me put it up here, is technorati.com. Now Technorati works in a different way than it does now. Back then, I got the wrong thing there. Technorati, let me just get rid of this. There we go. Put in the right site here. Okay, that's it, technorati.com. It claims to be the world's foremost authority on blogs. So we used this tool, Technorati. Yes, Technorati. It's not working the same as before. You have to understand a few things about Technorati. It's actually a serious blog search site, so it might find if you're interested in politics, let's say, you might be looking for something on, say, the recent U.S. elections. You want commentary. You don't want to get things that people with no authority have put in. So Technorati tends to weed out people with low authority, which happens to be your students. So the first thing you have to do is just put a, I'm going to put writing matrix in here. I'm going to put writing matrix in the blog post, and let's see, that's going to change to this URL. Okay, so now I've searched for writing matrix. I don't get any posts. What I need to do is I need to go, it's where it says click to refine the search. I'm going to click there, and I'm going to search in blogs, posts, let's see, filter by any authority. I'm going to change that. I don't know if you can see that, but let's see. And I also put show results by date. Okay, so I'm clicking on refine the search. That's okay. I'm going to give you a URL that does it for you. And I got some results on this search. Okay, so I'm going to put that into the, you should see it up on your screen. Do you see the post for writing matrix? Do you see, how many posts do you see there? Good. Okay, that was a check to see if you were on the same page. Now, that's very interesting. I'll tell you why that is so interesting. When we were doing the project, we could see pages of posts there. Because when the students were doing it, there were a lot of posts. Now, what Technorati, one change they've made lately is they only show posts from the last 30 days or something like that. So you can see that these posts are both 3 weeks old. Now, what that tells me is that there's somebody, and it looks like it's Doris in Venezuela, she's still using this, or students are still using it. And when I looked at it maybe a month ago, there were four or five posts here, and some of them from student blogs. And I'm kind of disappointed. I meant to comment on those blogs while I had them up, but I didn't, and now I see that they're unretrievable. But anyway, now if you wanted to join this project, anybody could. The neat thing about this is this is collaboration among classes, but there's nobody in authority here. Oh, I should say hi, Ingrid. You've joined us. We'll ask you to introduce yourself in a minute. Okay, so. No one is in charge of this. No teachers have to email each other and coordinate. So anybody can do it just by having people create blog posts and then tag them writing matrix. Then they'll show up here. And what happens is that students in different countries, if they're told to visit to do this search, they can find your students' blog posts, which is really neat. Ingrid, how are you? Do you have a microphone, or would you like to say hello? Okay, Ingrid, I think I heard some noise from over there. I saw you switched on your mic. Would you like to try again?
Okay, I'll try to speak louder. So my name is Ingrid Brabant, and I'm from Germany, and I work in teacher training.
Ingrid, can I ask, how did you happen to come here? How did you know about the session? We had you there. You try again? Dennis, I could ask the same question to you. How did you know to come here?
Sorry, technical hitch there. It's called forgetting to switch on the microphone. I knew from two places. I read a message from you, and I also spotted it in a tweet, because when I first tried the Tiny Early, it didn't work. So I came to see if there was more up-to-date information in Twitter, and there was.
Okay. Ingrid, would you like to, are you ready to tell us how you came? or Ingrid, you could also put that information in the text chat. Who did we lose? We lost me. that's disturbing. That means upstairs someone is fiddling with that computer up there. He's probably logged me off. Okay, anyway, I'll go check on that later. I think we're sort of on a time schedule here. It's 1 o'clock, and that where I popped out of the computer, I was logged on upstairs. It reminds me that that this might be time to go. But one thing I was trying to illustrate here is how a professional learning network develops. And so, at 2 hours before the session, I put out a note on a group, the message that Dennis referred to, and maybe about half an hour before the session, I sent out a tweet, and then I put another one up. About 15 minutes into the session, which was about 15 minutes, about half an hour ago. So it works to sort of bring people in, you know, it communicates to people very quickly to let them know that there's something going on and to bring them into the session. So did you want to say something?
No.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. So, and we're recording this, I should say. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Is there anything else that anyone would like to discuss here? I think John and I are okay. I'm not sure about Amr. Amr, do you have something you have to be at? Can you let us know your time frame?
I've got another question. Apart from Technoratia, are there any other tools that you use for finding tags, or which ones do you use?
Oh, that's a really nice question. Here, I'll show you a really good one. By the way, Ingrid has said in text chat that she found me through a tweet, so that's cool. So that means that Ingrid must be following me. I was just telling people that there's a really neat site, the Unfinder. It tells who's following you that you're not following and who you're following who are not following you. It's kind of neat. Okay. Oh, great, Amr. Okay, good to hear that. So, we can carry on for another 10 or 15 minutes, I suppose. Let's see. Now, Dennis asked, what other sites pick up tag searches? So here's a really good one. This is one of my favorite, Spezify. So apart from the obvious ones, Flickr, for example, you can find photographs through tags. So let's see, specify, I'm going to put a word here, I'll say writing matrix. This is, let's see if we get any results here. Here we go. Here's some, now when we put this into Technorati, we didn't get too many results for writing matrix, but apparently this one's a little bit, sorry, my microphone's slipping. This one's a little bit more productive. I'll put the URL here. So this is Spezify, and what Spezify does is it just gives you a neat collage on different topics. Do you have a topic you'd like to try? Maybe there's one that you'd like to search. What it's doing is it's going to, I can show you a little bit better. Let me try another place while you're asking me. I'm going to put a dictomatic on, because a dictomatic shows you a little bit more clearly what the tag searches do. So I'm going to hand over the mic for a second while I bring that up. Okay, this one is a similar tool. What it does is it does something similar to Spezify. Spezify goes out to places that are shown here on a dictomatic, but it doesn't tell you so clearly where it's going. But the dictomatic tool tells you answers Dennis's question, because it tells you where else it goes to get. So you can see that it's going to Buzz. To Bing, no results there, but it goes to Google Blog Search, which is looking for things on writing matrix. Doesn't look very productive there. Writing update might have been. Yes, writing update looks okay. Flickr, probably a few of those specify links for getting things from Flickr. Friend feed, Christina Costa has some things up, Graham Atwell. So but it tells you where it's going. Yahoo Web Search, WordPress, Wikio, TrueVideo. I'm not sure about TrueVideo, but anyway, there's some these are places where which are searching sites where people have tagged content, and YouTube, of course. YouTube, I don't see anything here that looks like it's really writing matrix, but anyway. These sites are very similar to PageFlakes or NetVibes, whereas with PageFlakes, for example, let's see if I've got a writing matrix on PageFlakes. I might try that in a second. Does anybody have any comments while I'm looking around on the web for my next for the next thing? Comments or questions? I need to find my PageFlakes site. Sorry, I had to go through my page to get to this one. So here's a similar tool that is also about writing matrix. And this one is one that you have to set up by hand. But you can see that the results are much more on topic because you sort of pick them. So I've picked people's blogs and other places. For example, there's a Technorati aggregation here. Let's see, what does it say? If I click on Technorati, looks like it's opening a new window here and bringing up a search. And doesn't really seem to be a search on anything in particular. Okay, so that doesn't really work. Okay, but anyway, there's another way of aggregating content. We call that aggregating content when we go out, when we look for the metadata on content and pull in the content through its metadata. That's called aggregating the content. Ingrid, maybe I could ask you if you can get your mic working so we get to know a little bit about you. What's your interest in this? What drew you to this presentation? Must have something to do with your work or profession. So what do you do that made you feel you could use this session? Or you can put the answer in the text chat if you're unable to speak. But your voice was working earlier just fine.
If the microphone's available, can I just ask another question? Do you still use a daily aggregator? I find that I don't anymore. I just wonder what if other people still use one or not.
Okay. Ingrid just asked a question. She's interested in tag search engines. Had not heard of these. Okay. Yeah, I could show you more about tags. Google Reader is one of these daily aggregators that I think Paperly is another good one. Have you tried Paperly, Dennis? What Paperly does is one of sites that takes Twitter tags and presents a newspaper on Twitter. I'm not sure how you invoke it. Let me grab something here. Let's see. I'll try the one for education. Okay, topic equals education. Because I think that there's one for webheads, for example. So if we put topic equals webheads, I think someone's kind of set up this up. Doesn't seem to be found because no news. Maybe it's webheads in action. I don't know. No. Okay. Oh, for Bessig. Okay. All right. Dennis suggests I try BESIG. Okay. And now I guess I'm going to need the URL. It doesn't seem to be giving me topic equal. So maybe if you have the URL, we could have a look at it. But anyway, these are just the Google Reader is really interesting if you. You think it's a hashtag. Okay, try that. Ah, yes, it is. Well done. Okay, there we go. So there, basically, what that does is it takes all the tweets on that hashtag, and looks like it's something to do with Business English, and it makes a little newspaper out of it, which is kind of cool, huh? I think that's a really nice use of Twitter. I'll just put that. It gave me a URL that looks like this. Maybe I could try this in I'll try this with webheads and see if that works. Yes, it does. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so now we know the secret. So, but I actually put in the hashtag first. So, so these are newspapers that you can basically make, which aggregate Twitter content and make a little newspaper out of them, little newspaper headlines. Yeah. Oh, and I was going to show you something else. Let's see if I can find my tag game site. Let me go to another place and work offline for a little second. Okay, I'm going to release the mic in case you want to ask another question, please. Okay, I just put in a URL for a presentation on tag games, what I call tag games, that I gave at in Brazil and Argentina this summer. And so basically it tells a little bit about the difference. There's a graphic there showing the difference between a taxonomy and a folksonomy. And you can see some of the different ways that tags can be used. So for example, this one is really good. Tag Galaxy, a lot of people like that. If you scroll down, you can see a graphic on Tag Galaxy. Let's try that one. Losing my... Here we go. Yeah, let's try... I'll go to Tag Galaxy. Okay, so there's... Now, Tag Galaxy, you can put a tag in there. You might want to try that on your computer because I don't think it's going to give me a URL. And if I put in, for example, writing matrix here, I'm doing that on my computer, but I don't think that's going to change the URL. So you can put in your own tag. Did you try one yourself? Yeah. You can experiment with that. It's not working here where I am because it's a funny thing. The UAE has this, that's right. They float in from all over the universe. John here can't see it in operation because although Flickr has been approved here in the UAE, I think our Petroleum Institute still has a block on it on WebSense probably. So. But we should get them to release that. But anyway, so we can't really see it in operation. Okay, are there any more questions? I think I'm going to bring this more or less to a close because we're here in the middle of a working day here in the UAE. This has been very fascinating. It's been fun to talk about. I didn't really know what we would talk about today. Any more questions? Ingrid asks the URL of my wiki. I've got, I can give you my advanced education site and what that does, because I don't know which wiki you, the one that is shown now. Yes, oh sorry, yes of course. Ah yeah, that one, okay. Yeah, that's what I was saying. If you're moderating a session like this, you have to be sure and paste the URLs into the text chat. Otherwise, if you put them just in the web tour, no one sees them but the moderator, and that gets to be a big surprise. You show a lot of websites, and if you don't have them in the text chat, then people looking at the recording can't go to them. Okay, any other questions? Yeah, Dennis, we were having trouble hearing you there, or maybe by accident you put on the mic. Did you want to say something? And then I'll answer Amr's question. Oh, Dennis, you must be, it looks like you're having a little trouble with the audio. Well, Amr asked a really good question. He says, should we have, two good questions. Okay, I'll answer both of those. Taking Amr's question, he gets to the heart of a PLN, the Personal Learning Network. I offered to give four sessions here, and Amr has come to three of them, which is, he's a hero as far as I'm concerned. Certainly, we'll do something to prolong this. And what we can do is we can use some of these web tools to find ways to connect online. And possibly, maybe early next year, I'll do another set of sessions. So, Amr, we'll keep in touch about that. And as for the recording, there is a recording. What happens is when we all leave the room, I'm the last one out. And when I close the session, that recording gets put in the can, as it were, and it goes up to a website where I can get its link. And what I'll do is I'll paste the link in the same places, the Twitter feed and in the Webheads room, and also send it out to the emails for people here in PI where the recording is. And that should, you should get all that within an hour of, maybe even half an hour of, Amr. I'll email you the link. And I appreciate your interest very much in the course. And also, John is another hero here. He's actually been to two of these sessions. And hopefully we'll do this again sometime. And meanwhile, of course, we have these Sunday at 5 o'clock in the UAE. That's 1 o'clock GMT every Sunday. We have sessions. If you're interested in those sessions, you can come at, you can just come to this URL. There are other ways to find them, but let me just put this here, tappedin.org. Okay, we're always there at noon GMT on a Sunday and at 1 o'clock GMT, which is 4 and 5 o'clock here in the UAE. So if you go there on any Sunday, we can tell you where we are giving our presentation. Usually it's in this room. So actually, if you come to this room, tiny URL, let's see this one, tinyurl.com/Y3EH. So if you come to this room at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, normally we'll be here, although it's possible that we could be in other places at other times. But anyway, one of those places would get you the information that you need, just wherever we happen to be. We're very reliable here. We've been in this space at that time for the last 10 years, every Sunday. So that's an ongoing, long-running proposition. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming. I'm going to switch off the mic, let you make any final comments. John, you would like to make a final comment?
John's final
comment. Yes, no, I just want to thank events and also the other participants. This has been very interesting. I can see that it could be very, very useful with my own students.
Okay, well, Ingrid has left, and I'll be switching off the recording in a moment. And thank you, Amr and Dennis, for coming, and John for being here as well. And I always wind up these recordings by saying that we're at the Petroleum Institute in Abu Dhabi. This is Vance Stevens. This is part of a session called Enhancing Student Performance and Professional Development Online, which I was just conducting here at the Petroleum Institute. And today is November 3rd, 2010. Thanks a lot for everyone who came to the session. We're going to stop the recording now. Thank you, Amr, for being there as well. We really appreciate your interest. You're the star of the show. You've come to 3 out of 4 of them. So thanks very much. Okay, bye-bye.